I'm trying to emphasize the concept of perception because you could read the text, Nangsum, and I have a feeling that many people forget the essential, which is understanding that the Virupa is talking about perceptions. Actually, in his Vajra root text, he says, Semjen la nyemong pala madakvin nawa, for the beings who are defiled, impure perception. This says a lot. I'm emphasizing this because many Buddhists, the way they practice Buddhism is like the way they practice Christianity, really. They treat Buddha as the God. They are afraid of him. They think that they will be punished if they are not behaving well, not necessarily by the Buddha, but by something called karma. And they feel guilty if they happen to forget practicing, visiting temples. It's like a Christians, if they forget to go to Sunday morning church, then they feel they have missed out something, isn't it? Many Buddhists, especially now, seems to be practicing Buddhism as how a Christian would practice Christianity. And that's a danger, not good. You have to change that. Buddhism in general, and especially here in the path and fruit teaching of the Virupa, the Sakya tradition, we are not trying to please the Buddha. That is never our aim. But I can understand why people feel like that. Because you see, we make offerings. We make offerings of apple, we make offerings of water, food, and in some cases we make offerings of so-called torma, which is kind of alien for you. It's the Tibetan cake, actually, like a ritual cake. But we make offerings. We bath, like if you go to the Thailand, there is a ceremony of offering bath to the Buddha. We pour water over the Buddha and all that. We offer incense, and with a good perfume we offer. All of this makes you think that, oh, this is a lunchtime. Buddha must be hungry, so we must put some food. Or it's about a week now, Buddha needs a bath. Buddha must be dirty. This kind of theistic approach is not a Buddhist way to practice Buddhism. In Buddhism, especially in the Sakya tradition, the root of practice of the Dharma is changing the perception. Really, it is so important. This is what Nangsum is about, changing the perception. And changing the perception is really, really important. Perception is ruling us all the time. In our every day-to-day life, it rules our life. And we have always, all our perception is mistaken perception. As, you know, just last night we talked about, and I can give you this example again. Like, for instance, like, we look at our hand. Yeah? We look at our hand. And every time we look at our hand and we talk about and think about our hand, we have three mistaken perceptions. The first, we think this hand is the same hand that I had yesterday, isn't it? The same hand. That's a mistake. That means that you are saying the hand is permanent. Yesterday's hand and today's hand is same. That's what we think. You got it? That's a big mistake. That's not true. Yesterday's hand is gone. Today's hand is new. And after, in about 20 years, your hand is going to even look different. Have more wrinkles, less hair or more hair, I don't know. It has to change. If we have the same hand, then imagine When you are 50 and you still have a baby's hand, it won't even look nice. Every time the hand is changing. But we don't see that. We think it is the same hand. That's one mistaken perception. Another mistaken perception is, we think when we look at our hand, we look at Gongbu, the Rilbu, we call it. We look at it as a whole. We don't see it as in parts. We don't see it as skin, blood, vein. Yeah? When we say, let me shake your hand, we never say, can I shake your bones and skins and your hair? We don't say like that. So we have created this perception called a hand. And then some people are so proud that they have shaken hand with George Bush or Osama bin Laden or whatever. You understand? Hand also has many different kinds of hand, you know. This is a very ordinary hand, you know, like pathetic, yeah, you know, sort of ordinary hand. But Osama bin Laden's hand, oh, that's a very special. Dalai Lama's hand, Mother Teresa's hand, celebrity Brad Pitt's hand. Wow, that's even better, isn't it? Brad Pitt's hand is the best. And maybe Catherine Zeta-Jones, oh, that's the best. So we have this kind of misconception, misinterpretation, misperception. That's a perception. Another problem we make is we forget the fact that hand is a dependent nature. The very movement of the hand, the existence of the hand, the liveliness of the hand, all depends on food, elements, so many, many different factors. This we keep on forgetting. So this is how we perceive things all the time. Always making... I'm only using the hand as an example. Use it in all our matter. Relationship, okay? You have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend. When you look at your boyfriend, you make three mistakes again. You think this is the same boyfriend as what you had yesterday. And it will be same as today, tomorrow. But it is not. Tomorrow he is quite irritating. Today he is quite loving, isn't it? Or day after tomorrow, divorce. Stuff like this happens. Because you think it's the same. And then when we look at our girlfriend or the boyfriend, we also look at them as an abstract. Boyfriend, my girlfriend. An abstract picture. It's almost like a Picasso or a, you know, like a Mondrian picture. You know, it's an abstract idea, so-called boyfriend. Because if you really, really, you know, separate each part of your boyfriend, there are things that you might not really like. For instance, like his armpit smell. For instance, like the way he snores. I don't know. The way he eats too much garlic. Or the way he is so obsessed with, anchovy pizza. Things like that. There are so many things that you don't like. But usually, when you first meet this boyfriend, we ignore all that. We focus on one thing, because you like his nose. That's why you have fallen deadly in love, right? Because you have fallen in love with his nose, his finger, or whatever, doesn't matter. After 2 years, you begin to realize all these mistakes one by one, because then you are beginning to take them apart. The anchovy, the armpit smell, I don't know, all kinds of things that, you know. So what I'm saying is, perception is a big thing in our life. The Nangsum teaches that. And, you know, although my examples, you might think it's something new, but I am really not, I'm trying not to, go away from the actual original teaching of the Nangsum. Nangsum is teaching that. Nangsum is telling us, when we have defilement, we have impure perceptions. Impure perception meaning everything is permanent, everything is one, everything is solid, everything is unchangeable, and all kinds of, and we can go on and on talk about this impure perception. So much of it, so much hope, so much fear, not only on the ordinary, you know, ordinary, mundane, worldly life. Even in the spiritual world, if you are not careful, impure perception can arise. This is why I was telling you right from the beginning, what is our motivation here? What is our motivation? Is it really to achieve enlightenment? If it is, then everything will become easier. Things are less complicated. But it is not. For instance, just now during the break, many people were asking me about questions such as the relationship between guru and the student. That's another big subject. And many of the student and guru relationship does not work or falls apart because first, coming with a wrong motivation. Secondly, wrong motivation, of course, is the impure perception already. And then while you are having relationship with the guru, because of that impure motivation, all the perception is also impure. I will elaborate this, okay? You go to a guru, okay? You go to a guru and your motivation is not for enlightenment, but your motivation is to be near the guru. You understand? To be near the guru. I want to stress this a little bit because, I don't know, somehow watching many of the kung fu film, you know, kung fu, the Chinese kung fu film, and also the Chinese histories. I mean, this is not a problem with the Chinese society alone. Tibetans have the same problem. Indians, I don't know, I think they have the same problem. But because right now we are, I mean, the Chinese society, let's talk about this. It seems to be a big problem, you know, what do you call it? They call it what? The big brother? Ta-aka or something? Is it? You know, when one kung fu master dies, he has to have a successor, isn't it? The lineage holder. Isn't it? Lineage holder. And many of the kung fu film is about two students fighting about who becomes the lineage holder, isn't it? Yeah? Not only in the kung fu films, but you read in what's his name? Master Huining, isn't it? Huining, sixth patriarch, Huining. He had a tough time because some of the students didn't want him to be the sixth patriarch, didn't want him to have the begging bowl and the robe. There was a lot of tough time. So what I'm saying is some disciples, some students, some people come not for enlightenment, but to become the ta'aka. You understand? The big brother, the lineage holder. Or they want to become, or there are so many strange things like that. People come so that they can take photograph with the Rinpoche, or the highest lama is the best. And then later they can show it to the lower students and say, see, I'm someone special. You know? You better do what I say. You understand? I'm kind of a special. There's so many, I've noticed this. And these are all what I call impure perception. Because in Buddhism, really, the sole purpose of practicing the Buddha Dharma is to achieve enlightenment. Who cares about lineage holder or to become the second in command? You know, anyway, you should not be aiming for a second in command. You should be aiming for the first in command, which is the enlightenment. That should be the real purpose. But this is easier to say than practice. Many people, many disciples, because their motivation is to be close to their guru. Sometimes, if the guru ignores them for about half a day, they go through a depression for 6 months. Depression. They eat Prozac. Is it Prozac? Yeah. And so much pain, so much. And then, if another student also becomes slightly favorite boy of the guru, then your situation becomes very insecure. Oh, I have a competitor. I have a, competition. You understand? All this stems from a wrong motivation. Your motivation is not for enlightenment. Your motivation is to be recognized, to be the recognized person. And that's why we have pain. You see, why we call it impure perception? Because it brings you pain. It really brings so much pain. Look at everything. Let's go back to our hand. Yeah? We have three kinds of perception about our hand, isn't it? Because we, wrong ideas about our hand. So many moisturizer you can buy. So many. And none of them works. None of them. They work for like 5 minutes, but it doesn't matter. Even though, I'm 43, and for 43 years, not one moisturizer has worked, sort of, ultimately. It doesn't matter if I walk on the street and if I see a moisturizer advertisement, I will fall for it. Of course. I will think, this moisturizer, I don't know, Yves Saint Laurent or whatever, Chanel or Body Shop or whatever. If they say, this is the best, extracted from the mountain water, extracted from such and such herbs, good for this and that, I will just fall for it. Buy it, apply. Of course, works for like a day or two, and then back to the square A. And that, again, you have reached to the pain, all stemming from the wrong perception. We really don't have to, think six rounds in terms of existing somewhere outside, where you will go in the future if you are not careful. We don't have to think like that. We should think about all these realms, hell realm, hungry ghost, animum, exist within this world. I mean, even externally speaking, look at our world. I always think like America. If you just watch CNN, maybe not the European edition, the American, the American edition, like a Fox. Do you receive Fox? Fox Channel? Fox News? You should watch Fox News. And you will see it's a God realm, because the Americans don't know the other countries exist even. They think they have everything, and then everybody must act, what they say. And when someone is not sort of obedient to them, they think, how can this is possible? It's like a sacrilegious almost. And this is how they think. I think the Americans are a bit like a God realm. Really, so much pride, so much ignorance and pride, lot of pride. And big highways, so big cars. So it's a God realm, But consuming. They consume probably more than half of what is world producing, just to feed 10%, not even 10, maybe 2% of the world's population. The war is waged, innocent people are being killed, all of that. Pride, there's so much of this pride. We are the best. Our democracy system is the best. Everybody must go through this, I think. And then when you go to places like Ethiopia or South Africa, I've been there recently, and it is amazing, because the food aid they receive from the World Food Fund and all the Red Cross is enormous. But there are just thousands and thousands, especially kids, dying of starvation. And the reason is just ridiculous. Nobody to transport the food from the food center to the location. I thought, this has to be Hungry Ghost realm. Because in the Hungry Ghost descriptions, if you read Nangsum, Chi Dubajan, Nangi Dubajan, all these some of the hungry ghost beings, even though they have food, they can't eat. Even though they can just, it's like within, you know, hands, you're reaching distance, you still can't use it. It's like that. They can't use it. So suffering with the starvation because of the past, that kind of perception. And then if you want to see Asura realm, you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to Middle East. Palestinians and Israelis have been fighting from the day one. They have been fighting for all kinds of things. Jealousy. All they do is fight and fight and fight. It's almost not a news anymore. You understand? Like, this is how our human mind is. It's like we are immune to it. Okay, six people died in a suicide bomb today in Jerusalem. And we are drinking Coke, sipping a cappuccino. Okay, it's not even sinking in our head because it has been done so much. I think that is Asura realm, you know. Even in this earth, you can see that. And there, somewhere there, I think we will also find hell realm where people suffer. I mean, our children here, they are so lucky. In Afghanistan, in some of these places, boys and girls at the age of 7 and 8, they carry gun. They are shorter than the gun. They carry gun and go and fight. So lucky. Maybe Singapore is a bit of a God realm, I think, not realizing that they are lucky. You understand? Bit of a God realm. Mixture of God realm, human realm, and animal realm exists everywhere, I think. Basically, all we, consumer society, all us, all of us, consumer society, why do we consume? Why do we love McDonald's? Why do we like McDonald's? Not so much reason. Actually, I can give you 100 reasons why we shouldn't like McDonald's. It's junk food, it's bad food, it's really bad for health, all of that. But McDonald's is doing so well. They are doing so well. And do you know why? All because we have fallen into the trap of advertising. And this shows that we are so ignorant, just like an animal. A hungry donkey, all it needs is a radish in front of it, carrot. And then all the time when we are looking at Guess jeans, what else? Banana Republic, Gap jeans, or I don't know. Giordano, is it? Giordano, cheap, 15.99 dollars, reduction, sale, clearance sale, what else? Christmas, oh yes, of course, Christmas is coming soon. Even the holy sort of concepts such as Christmas, I mean, it's a very holy concept, it's a very special occasion. But even that is turned into a consumer's benefit. Very soon we are going to have a Vesak Day shopping, I tell you. There's not many Buddhists right now. Otherwise, oh, Vesak sale. You understand? Vesak cake, Vesak. Well, the trees is already gone with the Christians. I don't know, Vesak water or something like that. So everybody is buying bucket of water to put in. All this because we buy for it. I really think, in a way, all of us, if you think we are, of course, we all have our own suffering. Of course, we have. I mean, this is a human realm. We have a birth, old age, sickness, death. What we don't want, we have. What we want, we don't have. All kinds of problems, of course, we do have. But some of us, we are actually quite okay. We are actually doing fine. Just the other night I was talking. For instance, like looking at myself, if I live in this world 80 years, okay, 80 years, that's asking quite a lot. That's asking a lot. That's expecting a lot. That's a hope. That's a big hope. If I'm living 80 years in this world, you know, asking a lot because everything is so dangerous. Traffic, pollution, so many cause and conditions to kill me, destroy me. And yet I'm asking to live 80 years. Bit too much asking, but anyway, let's say 80 years. Then half of my life is gone, more than half is gone. Now I only have 40 years left. 39 years left. In these 39 years, what do I really need? Okay, calculate. Maybe I don't need more than 10 jeans. I don't need more than 60 t-shirts. Maybe 2 wristwatch. Maybe about 200 toothpaste tubes. About 100 toothbrush. We can budget like this, you know. If we budget out like that, I think our life is not that expensive, economical, at the same time kind of comfortable. But we don't think like this. For instance, when I go to shopping, I will shop as if I'm going to live 1,000 years. So 10 jeans is not enough. 100 jeans. You know some of the closets we have? How many jackets you have? About 40 jackets. Most of the time you don't even wear it. It's a waste. Might as well go for a good trip to, I don't know, Morocco or Ulaanbaatar or somewhere exotic and see something new and eat something new instead of spending on this kind of consumer things again and again, which will satisfy you only for one afternoon, and tomorrow you'll be looking at a different fashion and you'll want that. See, becoming a victim of a consumer society is the very reason why I think we are all animal. We're really like a donkey with a radish in front. We are all like that. We are all just do whatever the advertisement says. Like insurance. Goodness, this is so... Do you have insurance? Insurance, yes. Nothing whatsoever can insure you. Okay, that's the bottom line. There is no insurance that can insure you completely. You will have to die. And when you die, you will not even see how your belongings has been enjoyed by some others. You will not even see it. We human beings, we are so ignorant. Especially the Confucius society like us. We are really ignorant. We are in love with the family, name, honor, all of that. What do you call this? You know, in Chinese have this family ancestors' name on the shrine and they prostrate, yeah? Name. It's the name of the family, isn't it? Yeah, ancestors, right. And who knows, maybe you are one of the reincarnation of this ancestor. You are prostrating to yourself. You understand? But we have this kind of illusion in honor of our ancestors, in honor of our family, in honor of all kinds. You know, people commit suicide. People, you know, like Japanese, they have the great tradition, an amazing, artistic, aesthetically beautiful tradition of how to kill themselves. It's amazing, you know, because I like watching film. The film based on harakiri, you know, this satori and this films are amazing, so beautiful. And I believe that they do it like that because they are stuck with this so-called honor. All this proves that we are animal. We are everything. We are hell realm, hell, hungry ghost, animal. At times, when we go to California, bit of a god realm. When we walk along the Orchard Road, we are a bit of a god realm, I think. So basically, this is a perception, nothing. All this is our perception. And these perceptions comes from what? Insatiable desire, unstoppable aggression, deep ignorance, completely jaded pride, paranoid jealousy. Every time we look at things, that's what we see. See, it's because of this. In Buddhism, meditation is introduced. Because when you meditate, you know, like in the Zen tradition, Zazen. I don't know whether Singapore has Zen centers. I think the Zen is so good. I'm very inspired by the Zen method. I think it's really good for the modern people, especially the concept, the method, Zazen. You don't do anything. You just go to the Zen temple and sit. All they tell you to do is sit. You sit, 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 sit. 9 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, you just sit. Facing a wall, you just sit. Wonderful idea. Because when you sit, at least this door of perception, you know, is closed. Then you are at last looking inside. Otherwise, try this today. When you go home, sit on your sofa in your living room for 2 minutes doing nothing. You can't. You will not be able to sit 2 minutes doing nothing. You see, you will be looking for a remote control to switch on the television. You will be looking for some novel or a newspapers to read, and you will do all of that, and even they become boring. You switch on the TV and 500 channels you flip through. You understand? You can basically chant, count your mantras based on the channels these days. And what else? And then you read, and that doesn't satisfy you. What do you do next? Call a friend. Arrange a party. And the normal party with a bit of a, what do you call it, moon cake, and all of this becomes a little boring. So it has to be slightly kinky party, isn't it? A little bit of a beer, alcohol, and then that doesn't satisfy you, and then it has to be even more kinky, like LSD, I don't know, cocaine, or at least marijuana. And I've been to the world where even that is not satisfying. I've been to the world where, I don't know whether in Singapore this exists, they use chains and whips and handcuffs. Our mind has reached to that level of, you know, we can't sit still and be alone, even for a few seconds. Why? Too boring. Really boring. We have to do something. Entertainment is what we need. We want so much entertainment. One entertainment is not enough. That's why there's 500 channels. More entertainment, the better. But more entertainment means more boredom. Because you are now limiting yourself. You are now trying everything out. And then slowly, slowly, you begin to lose the reference, and then you begin to develop a certain depression. You really get so depressed. I mean, have you ever think about like this? You know, those who are like my age, 40 years, every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, meet friends, fight with friends, don't talk with them for a month, again reconcile. Same thing has happened again and again and again. And we still hope that life is elsewhere. We all of us, we think that we are still yet to settle down somewhere. We are not talking about like migrating to New Zealand, okay? We are talking about the real life hasn't begun yet. Everybody, isn't it? All of us, including me, we are preparing to live. We are preparing to settle somewhere. And this is the kind of mentality we have developed. So that's it. That's impure perception. I try to do it slightly using our modern day-to-day life examples. If you read the classic text, the Triple Vision, you might not find some of these examples, but don't think that what I have taught and that text is different. I'm using just some examples. Basically, what you need to know is that we have impure perception all the time. And what do? We have to apply experiential perception. And that we will talk tomorrow.